but dreams don't glue. Uh-huh. Ed and Matt, they're the burnout kings, dropping that knowledge with sarcastic swing.
Welcome to the only podcast that counts tardies like their lottery numbers. I'm Matt Hematics, math teacher extraordinaire, who has you solve for X, but never tells you why.
I'm Ed Plan, special ed teacher, modifying life one meltdown at a time, proud degree holder of sitting in meetings that could have been an email. And together, we're the Blackboard of Broken Dreams podcast, just in case you weren't sure. And this is our kindergarten season of this podcast. This is episode one, also known as the pilot. And why are we here? Why are we doing this?
I think it all started when we were remote learning back in the pandemic, right?
Oh, yes, the Zoom years.
Oh, yeah, when we were co-teaching.
Right, when we were co-teaching, yeah. We are former co-teachers, isn't that right, Matt?
Yes, that is right, Ed.
And we co-taught together probably since, it was almost 2018, I think, right?
Yep, that sounds about right.
We had a good run. It was a good run. We went from before the pandemic through the Zoom years. I think that's trademarked. We probably can't say that. Not everybody used it. Probably Google Meet or something else along those lines.
Teams.
Did anybody out there use Teams? I mean, I know other people did in the professional world, but that costs money.
Yeah. And unfortunately, being public educators, we don't have that.
No money. But where were we here? We've been doing this for a while. We co-taught together. I'm a special ed teacher, and Matt over there is a math teacher.
Yes, and we were teaching together back when we had the black boxes on the screen. So a lot of our students told us that, hey, you guys should start a podcast. And it's funny because, to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever listened to a podcast.
I don't even know what a podcast is, but I was told we should probably do it. And here we are, and they're telling us these things, but I don't know. Do you trust a black box?
No. To be honest, don't know what any of them look like or sounded like.
They're on airplanes, black boxes, aren't they? Don't they track?
I think so, yeah.
They track the flight patterns and when they went down.
So they must have tracked us pretty well.
They're tracking us right now, probably. Anyway, so just in case you're curious, everything that you hear here is a lie, and it's all fictitious, and all the names and places are made up for our convenience and really to protect us, and so that you can't sue us. Nobody actually knows who you are or who we are, and, you're probably Googling it right now.
Yeah, and I'm just curious, how long, Ed, have you been teaching?
Gosh, well, if you count the actual professional years of teaching, I've been teaching since 2011. But prior to that, I was a paraprofessional. I was a teaching assistant, and I was affectionately known as Mr. Dude. And that's because my students in my senior class of that first year were all stoned in an English class, and they couldn't remember anything. I remember driving down through the center of town and seeing one of my students from probably half a mile away in the car I was driving at the time, because it was loud and obnoxious. I was young. I didn't know any better. And threw his hands up in the air and said, "Mr. Dude," as I drove by real slow because I was a good role model.
Very nice.
Now, how long have you been doing this, Matt?
I have 1 year on you. Granted, I wasn't a paraprofessional before, but I've been teaching since 2010. Kind of came in halfway through the year of that school year, which is a story for another time. But I've been doing that ever since, you know, being a math teacher, educating the youth of America. It's been fun.
Did you decide early on that you should be a teacher? Or is this something that you changed into later in life?
I don't know if I necessarily changed into it. You know, obviously being 18 and trying to figure out what you want to do for a living is kind of hard. You see dollar signs and you want to make those. Being a math whiz, I wanted to do actuarial work, but then I realized that I'm a people person and don't want to sit and crunch numbers all day. I mean, granted, crunching numbers is fun, but being by myself or kind of in a cubicle, I don't see myself doing that life.
Really? So you would call yourself an extrovert or an introvert?
A little bit of both. I like to pretend I'm an introvert, but every now and then I like to be that extrovert.
Yeah, you know, they say introverts get their energy from being around nobody. And extroverts get their energy from being around all the people. Now, this is true for me because I know that if there's nobody around, I will probably fall asleep on the couch. But if there's lots of people around, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I've seen that. You definitely feed off the energy of others.
Yeah, I can't help it. I might have go into a giggle fest later. Who knows?
Now, did you have a change of career?
Oh, yeah. I totally decided a long time ago that I should not go into teaching because my mother said, don't become a teacher. And why would she say that? Well, because she was one. And we lived that life. And she's the one that told me I should be a paraprofessional. I would be good at it.
Fair enough. And I mean, I imagine that you must have been pretty good at it if you ended up being a special ed teacher.
I made $75 a day. I think they would have hired any warm body off the street.
Oh, fair enough.
No, but I did enjoy it. It was fun working with the kids at the time. But I mean, gosh, there's always these horror stories of teachers not having any money. And we grew up with not a lot.
That's why I was going to be an actuary, you know, starting off with almost six figures. Sounded pretty good to me.
Gosh, and how long ago was that? Six figures back then is like $1 million today.
Yes, it definitely is.
So that takes us to, you know, we know why we're here. I have other career before doing this, and I changed because the economic times were not good. I could not find a job in my field. And decided that the best thing to do was to go back to school, which everybody does when you can't find your way. You're like, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to grad school and become a career academic.
Yeah, but being 18, like I said, it's tough. How do you figure out what you want to do for the next, 40 to 50 years of your life, right?
I want to be a race car driver when I grow up.
Gosh, if dreams only could come true, right?
Someday they might. Well, that takes us through why you're a teacher, but obviously you're doing this for the money.
Oh, obviously. I mean, that starting salary of when I became a teacher was like $36K. As a, starving college student, $36K was a ton of money at the time.
Yeah, I almost want to get out the inflation calculator so we could go back and run the numbers to what the equivalent would be today. Maybe that'll be, on the other side of things in another episode. But let's start the rest of our episode off here with how you start your classroom, how you start your classes every day with a warm-up or do now. So did you choose the right career?
I think so. I definitely enjoy my job on the good days. Is it stressful on the bad days? Absolutely. Have I encountered things that definitely take me by surprise? Absolutely. But I also find it to be kind of enlightening to see how other people live and see what other people go through. I like to kind of feel like I lived in this little bubble growing up, especially as a kid. You don't really see things from the outside perspective. But I definitely have seen more being a teacher, and I think that's been the rewarding experience of it all.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think you chose the right career?
No. No, I definitely did not choose the right career. Gosh. But could you do me a favor and ask me again in July?
Oh, July definitely sounds like a good time.
Let's pretend we're in July. Go ahead and ask it again.
So it's, last day of school, going into summer vacation. Did you choose the right career?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gosh, yeah. Now I even get paid year-round. It's like I don't even have a real job. Is this a real job?
Yeah.
Some people might say no.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, at least in my district, I don't know how your district goes, but I mean, I don't really get paid for the summer. So it's very funny when people are like, oh, you got summer vacation. And I'm sitting here being like, I got 10 weeks with no pay coming in. So that's great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does your district handle that?
Right. So we worked in the same district for a while and now we're in different places. I get paid year round.
I'm so jealous.
You should be. I mean, this is spectacular. I mean, it's, I used to joke, they say they gave us the summers off so we could work another job.
Yes.
And I still do.
I unfortunately don't.
You're going to need to start.
I might have to.
All right. So next thing we're going to talk about is, we know why we're teachers. We chose the right career. No, but what does it for you, Matt, as a teacher? I mean, I know for me there's something, but what is the thing that you look forward to? There's always has to be some sort of stimulus or some sort of thing that you look forward to while you're doing your job. What would you say that is?
Again, being the hidden extrovert, because like I said, I identify as an introvert, but there are moments where I want to be an extrovert. So I think for me, it's the feeding off the energy of a classroom, because you don't know what to expect every day. You come in and you think you know what your day is going to look like. And then 5 minutes in, it's a totally different ballgame, right? You have a lesson plan, doesn't go as planned. This kid's acting crazy, that kid's acting crazy. But then some days there's the surprise where it's like you anticipate that into a lesson plan for timing, and then you're left with 20 minutes left, and you're like, uh-oh, what do I do? So it's the uncertainty of it all that I really like.
Oh, yeah, there is some spontaneity.
Yes, and being an improv enthusiast, ooh, I like to feel like I have to feed off that energy in the classroom. So if I know that time's running out, I got to come up with something on the fly real quick to make it work out with the class.
Yeah, being a teacher is one big acting gig.
Yes.
With a master course in improv.
Yes, and if you live in the city that you teach in, you're like a local celebrity, so.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that's scary.
Yes, it can be.
They'll be like, Matt, I see you down the street. Gosh, you're walking into the local department store or grocery store. What do they like to talk to you about?
It's mostly just ducking away from me and hiding, especially if they're with a parent, because they don't know what to expect. You know, some parents are like, oh my gosh, that's your teacher? I have to go talk to him and see how you're doing. Other ones don't care. So they're just like, I'm going to walk away with the kid and that's it, and we're good. No. So me personally, I don't want that interaction. I'll give a wave, but like if you're going to sit and have a conversation, you know, I want to get paid while doing that, right? So I'm not going to go and take my time outside.
Do you send them a bill? Do you email them the bill?
I've been tempted to, but I think our district would frown upon that.
Well, only if you get caught.
That's true. But it's tough, you know, with social media and everything else like that. Things can come up where people post, they saw me and I charged them. It'd be all over the forums.
Oh, gosh, the social media. Oof. Anyway, we'll talk about that one another day. Yeah. So for me, I think as a special education teacher, I enjoy the puzzle of trying to convince somebody. It's more like convincing a parent, and especially in the situation where we co-taught together, that they don't think their kid should ever be able to solve for X, let alone Y, and convince their parents that, no, I can get them to do it, and they will be doing it before you know it. And usually I leave there impressed with, you know, in a good situation.
Yeah, I give you a lot of credit because, Ed, I don't think I could handle all the different balls that you have in the air in a classroom because they all have different, you know, accommodations here, accommodations there. And I don't know how you keep track of it all because that's got to be tough.
You want to know the secret?
What's the secret?
I don't keep track of anyone. You know, there's a couple out there that you have to know. The high profile cases, you know, the ones that really have something unique about them. But for most of them, if you do a good teaching practice, you can cover everybody in one fell swoop. Now, everybody's going to have their little nuances and their little tips and tricks that they need, every individual one. You'll learn that Johnny needs it this way and Susie needs it that way, and that's fine. But other than that, we give it to them. We give them all the same one.
So good teaching practices?
Yeah, that's a good teaching practice.
Now, what are these good teaching practices you're talking about, though? Like, you can't just give me this blanketed, oh, good teaching, because you know what? I feel like I'm a good teacher, but am I necessarily checking all those boxes?
Of course you are. All you have to do is just go, you click it. You know, right, there's a little checkbox there. Did you do it? Yeah, you did. You clicked it. You did it. And if you want me to get into the details of all the specific good teaching practices, you know, you're going to have to go to our website, blackboardofbrokendreams.com, and find the webpage that does not exist yet. They're all listed there alphabetically. I'm going to have some AI generate that later just in case anybody needs it.
AI, I think that's frowned upon.
No, it's perfectly acceptable for everybody except for the students.
Oh, fair enough.
You know, I will say one of the perks, at least of where we are, for our salary, while our salaries aren't spectacular, you know, we do get a pension.
That is true.
And, you know, pensions these days, nobody gets them.
Yeah. Now, the real question is, when we retire, are they still going to be there? I don't know.
Oh, somebody could have sold them by then.
Yeah, who knows? But we'll find out when the time comes.
Oh, yeah, we will. Yikes. Well, we still have a few years to go. I mean, you know, on any given day, we could be like, you know, 20 minutes from retirement. It all depends.
Yeah. I mean, depends on the day, right?
It does. It truly does. I mean, some days are good, some days are bad, which is why we're here to do this podcast and to ramble on. And this is going to be a, you know, maybe it's a therapy session. Maybe we're going to have some good ideas. Who knows? But we do have some ideas and things that we're going to talk about throughout the course of our kindergarten season. And then as we progress and grow up into our first grade and second grade year, maybe that's how we'll name them. I mean, I'm jokingly calling it our kindergarten season because it's the first one. You know, yeah, not everybody goes to preschool, okay?
Yeah, it's true. So I didn't go to preschool, just saying.
My mom would tell you that not everybody went to kindergarten, but that's because she's old as dirt. Maybe we'll get her on here to do a guest spot. I think that'd be hilarious.
It would be great to have some guests, huh?
We should have some guests. Now, do you have any ideas for what type of guests we should get on here?
Definitely need to have an admin.
We should
just
definitely.
For some stories, probably.
Yeah. Well, obviously, all those stories are going to be lies and fibs and fake.
Yeah, they're going to be made up for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
all based in reality.
Yes. Based in reality of a school day, right?
Yeah, we probably found it on the internet, and we're just going to read it to you.
Do you think they use the AI?
Yeah, they definitely use the AI for it. I mean, gosh, we'd be lying to you if we said we did use AI.
Yeah.
So we got some guests. We're going to have an admin on. Maybe we'll get my mom, because she's the one that told me not to be a teacher, even though she did it for over 40 years.
Could we maybe get a guidance counselor or something like that?
Ooh, a guidance counselor or adjustment counselor. They definitely go, man, they're in the trenches solving those emotional crises.
How about one of the clerks from The Office?
Oh, that would be hilarious. Like the TV show?
No, that would
be spectacular.
Like the ones that make the school run like on a daily basis, but they don't get as much credit as they deserve?
Yes, they you know, the way to somebody's heart is through the clerk.
Let me tell you, anytime a copier breaks, you know who I'm going to.
I'm
going to
walk away.
I'm going to a clerk to get that fixed so I don't have to walk away. Have I done that? Absolutely. I'm on a time crunch. 3 minutes between a class, 4 minutes between a class. I can't make copies if it's broken, so I got to move on.
I haven't even made the copies yet. I'm going to run out. You know what? We will be co-teaching together. Maybe I'll run out and make copies while the other person's holding down the fort, quote-unquote, taking attendance for 10 minutes.
I think that's the thing I miss the most about co-teaching with you, is that time when you need to leave the room for something, you had a body in the room.
I gotta go. Now.
Didn't happen a lot, but in case it did, you had some backup.
Yeah, sometimes that meal from the evening before just didn't sit quite right.
Yeah, and there's nothing worse as a teacher when something doesn't sit quite right.
All right, so we've got a clerk, we've got a guidance, our adjustment counselor, we've got some admin. How about a city school teacher?
I like that.
I mean, I you know, we want somebody that's like hard in it. None of this like, you know, I'm kind of in the city.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like a big town. No, like I want that inner city goodness.
Then definitely we need the alternative to that at the same time. Like The very like rural, like nobody around, maybe 10 kids per graduating class. Like,
oh, we need a cowtown.
Oh, yes.
Cowtown teacher.
Something small so I can see what it's like having the same kids every period.
It's called elementary school.
Yeah, but I want to talk about it in a high school.
All right. Well, we're a high school teacher, so we're probably going to be a little bit biased towards the high school side of things, so maybe we'll need to get an elementary school teacher.
Maybe a preschool teacher.
Ooh, no.
Well, you said not everybody goes to preschool, so I need to know what happens there. I never been.
I never did either. My kids went.
Well.
Now, I'll see what I can do.
Oh, my gosh. Should we get a student perspective?
Oh,
I like that idea, too. Yeah.
Gosh, that could be real awkward.
It could be, but it may be fun.
If we could get a student on here, and we'll call him, you know, I don't know, Ralphie or something like that.
Yeah. We got to, like, meet at, like, the public library or something, so it's not
maybe,
like...
Maybe we'll get former student.
Yeah, former, maybe.
Maybe we can struggle a former student because they're going to hit those check boxes of old enough.
Yes.
And all that stuff. That'll be a fun one. So we got guests. What else do we got? Oh, we could talk about pop culture.
Ooh, pop culture could be fun. All the different shows and TVs and movies and songs.
Oh gosh, so many songs. So many songs. That'll be a good trip down. I mean, we got to look you know, we can figure out, can we play clips? We'll have to look into that.
We definitely will.
Play a clip for a few seconds so you all remember which one it is.
And I can't pay royalties, my teacher salary does not budget that.
In fact, this podcast is probably already in the hole.
We probably lost a lot of money right
now. Probably already lost it. Yeah, that's fine. We'll talk about pop culture. Classic day in the life.
Yeah.
Day in the life. I mean, there's movies that follow the day in the life.
Yeah, but a day in the life of a teacher, like I said, expect the unexpected.
Yeah. I mean, I'm almost numb to reality by now.
Yeah. There's not much I have not seen.
I mean, people get very upset with things they post in the news. I'm like, well, I saw that in the classroom. It's fine. You know.
Yeah. Is this not the normal day-to-day of people's work?
You don't do this every day? This is the thing that's not normal? Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
I guess I should be concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's really, maybe teachers out in public?
Yes.
You can always tell a teacher out in public. You know, you ever go out and see a herd of teachers at your local libation location? Mm-hmm. What on earth are they doing? It's like 3:30 p.m.
And they're spell checking the menu?
They're spell checking the menu, but they've already had 3 shots.
Yes. And you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, don't get in their way. And they're going to tell you that you're being too loud and you need to go sit down.
And you'll listen.
You're going to listen.
Because a teacher at the end of the day, you do not want to mess with.
No, no. You know, some things about the end of the day, yes, we all look forward to the end of the day, but that car ride home, that's the decompression station.
It depends on your ride.
Yours isn't long enough, is it?
No.
No, mine's not long enough anymore.
No, and I actually work with, my spouse, so it definitely makes it a little bit harder because the whole ride is talking about school.
You know, we could do that. That could be a themed episode there is, teaching with your, or working with your spouse.
Yes.
Not teaching your spouse.
No, that would not work for sure.
You can't do that one.
Definitely the relationships at school as a fellow teacher, but also a spouse. It's definitely an interesting
dynamic.
How many
teachers find other teachers to be their spouse?
That's a question. I mean, we'll have to reach out and
see. Well, yeah, we'll have to do an internet poll.
Because I can think of a few at my school.
Yeah, I know. I know a few as well, or maybe not spouses, but maybe extramarital affairs.
Well, I'm sure that happens too. But it would be interesting to see the dynamic of that.
Yeah, that would be, it's like you leave work and you go home and is it more work?
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, we're pretty good at home separating, but it's just the ride home that's tough because it's hard not to, you don't see each other all day because even though you work with a spouse, you don't necessarily see them because there's different floors. It's, big schools, all that stuff. You're constantly on the clock doing something because, you get 48 minutes to an hour a day of your own time to do stuff.
Bell to bell.
Yeah. And if you don't have the same period off, you don't have time to run across each other.
No.
So you don't see each other, but, a lot has happened in that 6-7 hour day that you're like, I need to tell you about this.
Who? Let me tell you.
Yes.
And we could do the flip side of that where, my spouse does not work in education. Lucky. And, I tell the stories and they're just like, what? Really? That happens?
See, I feel lucky to have a spouse in education because they understand what I'm going through.
Yeah, I think sometimes they think I'm making it up. I'm probably lying. Everything's probably a lie at this point.
I could see that. I mean, it wouldn't be far off, right?
No, no. Well, another idea I thought of, and we'll wrap this up, is we could talk about is teacher coping mechanisms.
Ooh.
How I'm gonna write that down. Teacher coping, because that one just came into my head. Teacher coping.
Are you talking about hobbies and stuff?
Well, it could be hobbies.
Stress management.
Yeah, let's go with stress management.
Okay, I like that.
I mean, we can do hobbies too. That's interesting, I guess. I mean, wine, sipping wines or whatever you call them.
Wine and sips?
Wine and sips.
I think that's what they're called.
Paint and sips.
Paint and sips. There you go. Do they only serve wine? I feel like that's what they serve there, but I've never been to one of those either.
No, neither have I, but I just feel like it's a thing that people do.
Yeah, I've definitely seen places pop up here or there with that. So
yeah, they should just do it in the cafeteria, or the teacher lounge or something,
teacher lounge.
Right? I mean, it's an alcohol-free zone, so everybody would attend it.
And yeah, they can sip apple juice or something, right, instead of wine.
Yeah, maybe some apple juice and goldfish.
Yeah, sounds perfect for, especially in elementary school.
Elementary school, they're probably doing that already. We just don't know about it.
They probably are. That's their professional
Gosh, we do need an elementary school teacher on here.
Oh, 100%.
They're just so bubbly and happy. They're not jaded like high school teachers. High school teachers are so jaded.
Yeah, but I mean, they're with kids that want to learn, so.
You know.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah, some of them do.
It's my perception of it.
You feel like they do because they're young and innocent.
Yes.
But I would still say not all of them do.
That's probably an accurate statement.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to find out.
We will. That's a good topic for another day. All right. Let's see. Where do we leave off here? Well, you know, we had some final thoughts here. One of them was regarding salary before we wrap up this pilot episode here. Was, you know, back when I got into this, was, you know, why did I pick it?
Yeah.
Was because I said $50,000 a year sounds good.
$50,000. Like I said, like, I think mine was 36.
That was the eventual get to.
Oh, the eventual.
I was like, wow, 50 grand. That sounds great.
Yes.
Could you imagine getting that in today's? Are there teachers who probably are making, because you know what? I know the starting salaries. I've seen the steps. That's not enough.
No. And for people who are doing it for 50K, you're doing a good job.
You should probably quit now.
No, don't. It's a rewarding career. It's not always about money.
No, yes, it is. It's all about money. And it's about that pension at the end if you stick through it. See, it's all about that money.
Pension and time. I will agree.
Yes, you're going to probably have a heart attack. Oh, you know, we could talk about teacher health issues. I'll write that one down. Teacher health issues.
That would be an interesting topic.
Are they all related to their job? Which, I mean, you know, a lot of jobs have stress-related or work-related injuries.
Yes, but does workman's comp exist for teachers?
Yeah, it does if you're, like, you know, in play, you know, at recess playing with the kids and you fall and hurt yourself. That's on the clock,
playing
right?
Playing Foursquare and just the kid just whips one at you?
Yeah, because you shouldn't play Foursquare with the kids because they're going to go for you.
That's true.
Gosh. All right. Well, I think this is going to probably wrap up our pilot episode. Obviously, we're going to come back to you with more episodes, hopefully. We're going to schedule them and all that fun stuff. But, you know, we're going to probably end it here.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you kind of tune in with us because, again, we just like to kind of decompress a little bit. I know that you might feel that you're the only one going through it, but you're not. I promise. All right. So thank you for listening to Blackboard of Broken Dreams. I'm Matt Hematix. Remember, when life gets tough, count to 10 or do what I do and count the minutes until the end of the day.
I'm Ed Plan, and I modified this episode halfway through. Don't forget, your exit ticket will be located at www.blackboardofbrokendreams.com. And don't forget to subscribe to wherever you got this darn podcast from, because that's where you're going to find more of them. Thanks for listening. Special ed teacher, but his humor's bold. Mathematics math don't add up neat, but his punchlines, oh, it's a funky thing.